What's your line of business?
My card, Captain.
Unhappy. Then consult Mr. J. Parker Pyne. What? Mean to say people consult you?
They do, and I investigate or advise.
Ha! Silly bird-brained women, I suppose.
Certainly women, though mostly not bird-brained, but men as well, in need of someone to confide in, like you, Captain. If you don't know what to do, perhaps I might do.
I do know what to do. Herrick, waiter! Herrick!
Then I shall see you tomorrow, at dawn.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Hello, everyone.
Sorry. Better late than never.
The day's itinerary, then. We shall have a light picnic lunch along the way.
Good.
Followed by a more substantial evening meal at the abandoned fort of Rutbar.
Rutbar. Told you so, Nether.
So, until then, you should have no great need of most of your luggage, which will be carried in our follow-up vehicle and will be available to you all at Rutbar.
Well, I'll keep this with me.
Now, I do want to push on from Rutbar before midnight, because we've had warnings of rainstorms east of there.
Oh, dear. Rain in a desert?
Oh, yes, quite common this time of year.
Oh, yes, very common.
Really?
But if we can get on well beyond Rutbar during the night, we might just avoid them. So, take your seats, ladies and gentlemen. Our adventure is about to begin. Come on in.
Good morning, Mr. Pyne.
General Poley, I'm pleased to see you, sir. Especially as you have a newspaper, I see.
But it is only Les Echos de Damasque, alas. There is little of interest in it to men of the world.
Really? Might I borrow it anyway?
With pleasure, Mr. Pyne. Let me know if you find any news in it.
All right, present correct, are we?
Captain Hensley. Good to see you, sir.
Thanks, O'Rourke. Only just made it.
Captain Smethurst, you're right, old man.
Leave him in peace, O'Rourke. There's a good chap. He had a rough night last night. Erek, you know.
Lord. Unwise, Captain, unwise.
I'll keep an eye on him. Don't worry.
Right, then. We're all ready, so... We're off!
Off through the gate of death.
Oh, do be sensible, Netta, or go to sleep.
Like this story.
You find something of interest?
Oh, just this missing banker chap and the missing £3 million.
That is a scandal. A man who has every advantage your country can offer, Eton, Cambridge, and he steals bread from the mouths of those who trust him? He is a disgrace to his race, to Eton, and to Cambridge.
Do keep your voice down, General. Captain Smethurst is also an old Etonian, to judge from his tie, and he has worries enough.
And where does he run to, this Samuel Long? Where they always go, the criminals, South America.
Yes, that was the part that interested me.
Sorry?
He may be a scoundrel, but he's not a fool. South America is the one place he'll not be found.
Huh?
Probably gone in exactly the opposite direction. Just like us, in fact.
Us?
Well, you never know. Might even be me, General.
I think not, Mr. Pyne.
Oh?
The paper says he is still young and slim.
Oh. Well, then, he might be... you.
Me?
A stick-on mustachio, a uniform you could find in any theatrical costumiers, and hey presto!
I am General Ernesto Poli. I am me.
Oh, so you say, but...
You read the paper, sir. I am going to sleep. These English can't take anything seriously.
Oh, why do they do that? I mean, a dead camel is more than enough to feed the lot of them, but no, they must squabble over it first. Stupid birds. The griffon vulture always gives way to the black vulture anyway, so... Netta? Oh. Well, really, not even nature red in tooth and claw can interest the young. I don't know.
cigarette, old boy?
Hmm? Oh, rather. Thanks, Doc.
Are we anywhere near the old fort, Rootbar?
Well, might not be near enough.
Oh?
Well, that cloud ahead's getting darker by the minute if we do reach Rootbar before it breaks. But we could still get bogged down in mud.
And then?
And then we wait for the storm to pass and dig ourselves out. Hmm. We're not in any great hurry to reach Baghdad, are you, Doc?
No, no.
Wait for the next flash of lightning. Yes, walls, in fact. Must be the old fort. Our supper time stop.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached Rootbar, but I can't get the car any closer.
Oh.
Well, there's a mudslide blocking the way.
Yes.
Oh. All right, so the ladies can be carried into what shelter there is. I'll take you piggyback, Miss Hensley. Hensley, you and Smethurst carry Miss Price. Smethurst?
I'm afraid he's still out for the count.
I can lend a hand if you like.
Good man, Doc. Mr. Pine, General Poley, afraid you'll have to run for it.
Oh, ready, Miss Price?
Oh, ready and willing. But you chaps are going to get wet feet.
Oh, I'll be okay. Always carry a spare pair of socks in my overcoat.
Been this way before.
All right, are we ready?
Yes.
Well, let's be off then.
Let's ready be off then.
Go!
Yes.
There's a bit of
roof
left over there. Come on, follow me.
Yes. I'm stopping.
Have a care where your left hand goes, Captain Hensley.
Oh, sorry.
Madre di Dio, this is terrible.
Soaked. I'm freezing.
Oh, yes, my dear. A desert can be very cold and very wet.
All right, hang on. I'm just trying to get this lamp going.
Now,
get the hampers out of the boots.
I'll help you do that.
All right, good show, Doc. Come on, then.
I don't understand why we didn't just stay in the car and eat.
That's a thought. We were dry in the car.
But the car is bogged down in mud.
Yes. Mm.
But our combined weight, it has sunk down even deeper, especially in my weight at last.
You haven't changed into your dry socks, Captain Hensley.
Not yet. Still got to wade out to all that mud and dig the wheels. No fear. Once we've feasted on soggy sandwiches and tepid tea.
The holiday of a lifetime. You have to enjoy it.
Give it a go, Ork.
Right up.
Never know. Might be lucky. Or not.
Look, I'm going to wake Smethurst up. About time the swine did his bit. Come on, you drunken sot. You can do your fair share, Smethurst. Come on, man, Smethurst. Smethurst? Dr. Loftus.
What is it?
Seen a ghost?
Well, I think I have. It's Smethurst. He's not just asleep. I think he's dead.
Dead? Certainly looks it. Mind wasn't a picture of health before.
Put him down on that blanket.
Don't you dare faint, Netta.
O'Rourke, bring the lamp over. Thanks. I need to see if there's any clear cause of death.
Yes, okay, Doc. Right, now, men, let's get back to getting the car free. Except for you, Mr. Pine. You might be more use staying here and look after the ladies.
I think they'll probably look after me. I am pooped.
All right, come on then, Hensley. General, yes. We have to get that car free.
Yes, sir.
Any obvious wound, Doctor?
None that I can see. If he was sleeping off a hangover, he might just have cracked his head when we hit those bumps a few miles back. But no obvious contusions.
Alcohol poisoning? Happened to a vicar I knew. Cider and scotch was the silly man's tipple. Turned up for choir practice. Stone dead on the altar.
Oh, that's horrible, Aunt Prue.
It was for me. I found the fool.
Are you satisfied he died naturally then, Dr. Loftus?
Well, only one other possibility then.
Yes?
Well, I suppose if he was hit by some kind of small sandbag, that could kill without leaving much of a mark, or any.
Killed?
By someone sitting behind him.
Well...
Nobody was. He was on the back seat.
Behind or alongside.
Well, who was sitting beside him?
Captain Hensley, but surely not.
Wasn't Hensley a friend of his?
I got that impression, yes. Are the cars free? Good. We can ask Captain Hensley for his version of events.
I don't have a version. I've no idea what happened. I mean, why it happened. Smethurst was a friend of mine. I think you
have something to say, Mr. O'Rourke, to judge from your face.
Well, just... Before we left Damascus, when I was checking that the hampers and other kit had been properly loaded in the boot, I heard Smethurst talking to someone. Well, slurring to someone.
What did he say, sir?
He said, "I'll hold my tongue only till Baghdad. Not 1 minute more."
And he was speaking to...
I don't know. The boot lid was up and the other chap didn't speak. Not that I heard.
He was not a friend of yours, Smethurst?
Well, I only knew him because he came and went between Baghdad and Jerusalem on government business.
And you, General Polley, how well did you know him?
Not at all. We travelled in the same group from Jerusalem to Damascus. That's all.
And you, Dr. Loftus?
I've only just arrived. I never met him in my life before yesterday evening.
This is interesting because last night, in a nightclub called, I believe, the Heavenly Harem, I bumped into Captain Smethurst.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say much, but he did say this. I can't go and welch on a pal, but I can't stand aside and do nothing. The question is, who was that pal?
Yes.
Surely Captain Hensley is the only candidate.
Perhaps, Miss Price. I wonder, could a man manufacture some sort of sandbag cosh easily?
No shortage of sand.
Just a matter of what you put the sand into.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
I think many of us just shared the same thought.
Yes.
Where's your overcoat, Captain Hensley?
In the car. I took it off when we were digging the car out.
Doctor, would you go and get Hensley's spare socks from his overcoat, please?
Oh, I say now.
Why?
Do it, please.
All right.
Well, you seem to have taken command, Mr. Pine. And yet you are not a military man, I think.
I am not.
You have been perhaps a senior policeman?
Not at all. I'm just a man who spent 35 years sitting in an office listening to people.
Sorry, I don't...
He's J. Parker Pine. The J. Parker Pine.
There are others?
If only there were. He is J. Parker Pine, as in unhappy, if so, consult J. Parker Pine.
I'm sorry, Madame Adroit, I...
What is it, Doc?
What?
Look, see for yourselves. See?
This one still has some wet sand in it.
Oh, now look here now.
Now you save your breath, Hensley. Save it for the police.
Not now. Let's remain calm. I should like to have another look at the body, Doctor.
Oh? Go ahead, then.
Thank you. I'm interested in the tie. Old Etonian, no?
Well, I think so, then.
Well, with the knot very tightly tied, even pressing in against the throat. And if I loosen it... Yes. The top button of his collar is not loose.
So?
When he boarded the car this morning, the button was undone, and the tie was very loosely tied. I wonder why. You see?
Good grief.
A tiny hole in the back of the neck.
Looks as though...
Yes. Something very narrow and very sharp has been driven into the spine, causing speedy and silent death. And just a drip of blood. Dry.
Oh, horrible.
Yes, Miss Netter. And ruthless.
Oh, Lord. I'm so shocked that I didn't notice it.
Oh, not at all, Doctor. You were looking for a head wound. A sock on the head from a sock full of sand. What's that noise?
I can't hear.
Well, good. The follow-up car's made it. Go on ahead of me, Hensley. I'm keeping an eye on you.
But honestly...
Shut up and move. Yes, all right.
He doesn't look like a cold-blooded killer, does he?
Nor did Crippen. Looked like a feeble field mouse.
But you know, ladies, I don't understand. How could Hensley...
He couldn't. And didn't.
What?
But then who could it have been?
Smethurst was killed by a surgical instrument. Huh? Correct, Doctor?
Yes, but I never saw him go near my medical bag.
He never did.
Huh? Somebody did. Oh, I just realized when. I went up the front to have a smoke with O'Rourke, and that...
So you did, while Captain Hensley was sleeping. Hmm. And you apparently took your cigarette case from your medical bag.
Yes.
I didn't know why, but where's your cigarette case now?
Here, in my pocket.
Ah, so it wasn't the cigarette case you put back into your bag. It was, I think, a thin but very sharp scalpel.
This is madness! Why should a doctor and an officer in the Air Force, and a man who has only yet to be arrived here, why should he kill a total stranger? Why?
Because he was not a total stranger.
What?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
And he wasn't killed by a doctor, nor by an Air Force officer, was he, Mr. Long?
Ah, who's Mr. Long?
Samuel Long. Oh, surely not.
Old Etonian, Cambridge graduate, and a reckless gambler who's lost millions of other people's money.
And several hundred pounds if it was mine. You rat.
Well, Doctor?
Oh, dear. The rat is cornered, is he? Shame.
That's the voice. the charming voice.
Ah, congratulations, I suppose, Mr. Pye. I imagine I must have overlooked a detail somewhere.
The sand.
Oh? How?
Smethurst was dead several hours before we got here. The blood on his neck was dry, but the sand in the sock was wet. Do you see?
Oh. The storm. How very remiss of me.
I've left Hensley under guard in the follow-up car. Once you've all got some fresh clothes...
Hensley doesn't need a guard.
What?
Evening, O'Rourke. Samuel Long.
The banker? But where's Doc Loftus?
Heading for Africa, or so he said. Might have been lying, but...
What? Look, I don't get this.
Neither do I.
Well, don't look at me.
I believe I do.
Please, Miss Price.
This rat simply met another rat. The real Dr. Loftus.
Oh?
In Istanbul.
Oh?
On the train going there, actually.
And as you chatted, Loftus let slip that he was bored with his life as an Air Force doctor.
Something like that.
And especially with a posting to Baghdad. And so you said...
My dear fellow, why not pack it in then?
Don't imagine I have not thought about it, but...
I could help you.
You?
There's too little kindness in the world. I would be happy to offer you, shall we say, 500?
Mm-hmm.
For your uniform, passport, medical bag?
Am I close?
A very precise tracy, dear lady. Felicitations.
I shall never trust a charming voice again.
Yes, but, Smethurst, how is he your pal?
He never was. I mean, he wanted to be. He was my fag at Eton. I wasn't too hard on him, and he worshipped the ground I walked on. So he didn't blow my disguise the moment he recognized me. It was rotten luck we bumped into each other. Mine and his. Mind if I smoke?
Don't do it!
Do what?
Too late, I'm afraid. Much too...
Oh! Oh!
What the devil?
I shouldn't bother O'Rourke. He's dead.
Oh.
Probably prussic acid in the cigarette. Yes. Not the prettiest way out. But more digging, I'm afraid, O'Rourke. Just deep enough to keep the vultures off until we've gone, hmm? And may God forgive his miserable soul.
Come on, O'Rourke, I mean, honestly.
We're not going to go on about this all the way,
you didn't really have to accuse me.
Well, look, we all thought it was a possibility.
Look, Miss Price, straight ahead.
Baghdad!
At last. Good bath and crisp clean sheets for yours truly.
Yes, sounds delightful. But then...
Then, on to Tehran, and then Tashkent. Then I'll have to turn for home, but you go on, Miss Price, I hope.
But how?
By courtesy of this, I think.
What? Matches?
Samuel Long's matches. And also his emeralds.
Oh.
They should more than cover a journey around the world.
Oh, but no,
take them, my dear. He owed them to you. Take them and go on in the footsteps of...
Yes?
Marco Polo?
Exactly. And thank you.
My pleasure. I only wish... Your niece is dreaming. I wonder what on.
Shh.
Listen. Postern of Faith. The Desert Gate. Disaster's Cavern. Port of Fear. The portal of Baghdad am I. The doorway of Diyarbakir.
In The Gate of Baghdad by Agatha Christie, Miss Price was played by Patricia Routledge, General Poley by Saeed Jaffrey, Mr. Parker Pine by Richard Griffiths, and Dr. Loftus by Paul Freeman. Toby Longworth played O'Rourke, David Bannerman played Smethurst, Rupert Degas was Hensley, and Alexis Egerman was Netta. The Gate of Baghdad was dramatized by Mike Stott, produced by Bruce Hyman, directed by Dirk Maggs, and was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.
Oh, mon Dieu. The Hound of Death by Agatha Christie.
This is nice, Kitty.
Peaceful.
Yes. Happy with the tea, or should we move on to something stronger?
This is lovely.
Oh, funny, I'd rather forgotten how beautiful Cornwall can be.
Well, perhaps if you came more often.
Not fair.
Really? You always promised a visit, but somehow... Well, let's say I'm not a priority, not these days.
You're my sister, Kitty. Of course you're a priority.
But new friends and London calls, eh? Still, I must say I value the peace now after all those years of a house filled with so many people.
The Belgian refugees.
I wonder why they call it the Great War.
They should see some of the people I have to treat.
But then one had to do something. Those poor people fleeing for their lives. Do you want a sandwich? Their cucumber.
Not for me, thanks. I don't know why you bothered. You know I don't like them.
Of course, they've all been repatriated now.
Isn't the sea blue today?
All except one. Our nun, Sister Marie Angélique. Actually, her case is up your street.
Case?
Yes, your sort of area. The troubled mind. Neurosis. Isn't that the new word?
I don't know. It depends.
Personally, I prescribe a brisk walk in the fresh air to them far more good. Oh, but of course, Sister Marie's confined to her room. She's very frail, but well looked after.
Is she being treated?
Oh, yes. We have a new doctor. Dr. Rose. He's very persuasive. More my type than yours.
Please calm yourself, Sister Marie. Now, what I want you to do is to drink this for me.
Why?
Well, it will help to calm you. It's not unpleasant. Try to drink it, please. Then you know I've explained that I'm very concerned to understand these dreams that torment you.
They're only dreams.
Well, of course, absolutely, but they are unusual. And as I've said, you mentioned the city of circles and the people of the crystal. Now, try to think about this. Explain it to me. It will help me to understand.
Why do I dream of the Hound? The Hound of Death.
They thought the journey would be too much for her until she was stronger. Besides, her convent was blown up or burned or something. Destroyed, anyway. Oh, very mysterious. She's hysterical. Quite frankly, potty, in my opinion.
You mean ill?
Nonsense. Ill is having influenza or a broken arm. Not insane dreams. She just has to pull herself together. As I say, I telephoned the doctor. He knew exactly who you were. Very impressed. I felt as though I was announcing royalty. Oh. All hail Queen Alice!
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Oh, there. His cottage is up there on the cliff.
Oh, yes, I see.
Look, I'll do some shopping and call back for you in, what, an hour?
Perfect.
A fish for dinner?
We are in Cornwall.
All right.
Good morning. I'm Alice Anstruther.
Miss Anstruther, this is an honour to meet you. Do please come in.
Thank you.
Now, can I offer you tea, a glass of wine?
No, thank you.
This is exceptional. I think I must have read everything you've published. It's a particular fascination of mine, the study of the mind. It's the future of medicine, I think.
Nurse! Nurse! Will you sit with me? Talk to me. Keep me awake. I do not want to have the dreams.
Of course, my dear. Why don't I read you something from the newspaper?
See, I confess I'm sometimes at a loss as to how to treat her. I had her staying with the district nurse.
Is she liable to harm herself?
Or others. Some of her dreams are very violent. I mean, extraordinarily so.
I would be very interested to meet her.
Well, I would be pleased if you would. I mean, perhaps you can give me some guidance.
She's your patient, Doctor. I wouldn't presume.
No, I would very much value your opinion, your advice, I mean. How long are you down for?
Only 2 days. Then I have to be back in London.
Well, we'll go there now. It is fascinating. She's... How can I put this? It does seem to me that the things we call, that perhaps lay people call supernatural, may only be the natural of which the laws are not yet understood. Isn't that what Dr. Freud has said?
Well, not exactly.
But in any event, you shall see and hear for yourself.
You look very like your sister, Miss Anstruther. She was very kind to me. She's a good lady.
Indeed.
And how are you today?
Much as usual, the days they pass. The dreams seem more real than life.
Do you dream of your own country?
Sometimes. Then sometimes of a civilization that never existed. But in my own country, there was something. Some cataclysm.
Cataclysm?
Some mighty force. Something dark. Something in the darkness. And the hound. The hound and the house of crystal. I'm tired today. I would like to sleep without the dreams.
I have a sedative in my bag in the car. Excuse me for a moment, sister.
Come close, please. Come close to me. Tell me, Miss Anstruther. Tell me. Am I mad?
I would doubt that.
And Dr. Rose? Should I trust him?
I hardly know him. He seems very attentive to you.
Yes. He has many questions. Many questions. I'm not sure that I should give him the answers. Will you come to visit me again?
I will try.
Do. Do, please do. I'm very unprotected here.
Do you think her mad?
No.
No, indeed.
What I think is that some great event in her past, almost certainly in the war, has unhinged and disturbed her mind.
Yes, precisely. And if I can find that, unlock it, then she may be free of it. Yes, that was my own thought. That was exactly. Thank you, Miss Anstruther. Thank you. I may even try the crystal.
Hypnosis?
In a gentle way. Do you advise it?
It can be of assistance. But I advise you to do so with care. I wonder what the great event could have been. Hello.
Alice, it's Tom Hayden. Possibly good news. I think I may have found what you asked about.
Excellent.
There's a bit to it. You'll need to come down to me at the War Museum. There's some film you'll want to look at.
Thank you, Tom. You're a gem.
And you're looking even younger, if I may say so.
You're very sweet, Tom. And a liar, however.
Well, this took some doing. It was buried under an absolute mound of papers at the War Office. Had to pull a few strings, but even so, all I found there was just the basic news item.
Right.
WO in Brussels weren't much help either, but they did put me in touch with a chap whose unit arrived shortly afterward and took the footage.
You've done wonderfully, Tom. It sounds an extraordinary story.
It is. Just in here.
So, did it really happen?
Well, the question is, what exactly did happen? Just sit yourself there. There's no doubt at all, the village and the convent were in the way of the German advance. It is also beyond doubt that the convent blew up. There, you can see it now. There's only two walls left standing. But how? There's another question.
Well, obviously the Germans must have done it, although I can't see why.
No, they were a light cavalry unit, didn't have that kind of high explosive. It'd be interesting to ask the nun.
Quite.
I spoke to the chap who took this, got him to ask around.
You have been busy.
Well, for you. Anyway, he made a few inquiries, you know, saintly nun who had visions, mysterious heavenly thunderbolt, that sort of thing.
And?
The locals are absolutely convinced, apparently. They believe she performed a modern miracle. The Germans came into the convent, and then into the chapel. That's the remains, I think, just there on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood there and defied them. Then it happened. Boom. She's left alive, but in some kind of trance.
Interesting.
And only two walls are left standing, and the locals won't go past one of them because on it is a black powder mark, which actually, you can't see here, but they say it's in the shape of a great hound. They call it the Hound of Death.
A cataclysm.
Sorry?
No, nothing.
Alice, can I ask, why am I doing all this for you?
Confidential, I'm afraid, Tom. Between psychiatrist and patient.
Some sort of delusional, eh? Half hear a story and imagine it is their story. It happens. Poor wretches. Anyhow, hope I've been of some help.
Oh, you have.
Dinner, perhaps, when I find out more?
Absolutely.
You're just the same, aren't you? Mysterious as ever.
I don't think so.
So, how's the lovely Kitty? Still in Cornwall?
Yes. In fact, I intend to go there tomorrow.
It is true. It is true, then. It is true.
It is.
It is not some nightmare. It happened. It is true.
Sister Marie, please try to calm yourself. Listen to me. I think you've talked enough now. You must rest.
No, no. This makes everything so different. It is no delusion. I stood there on the altar steps, and I begged them come no further. I told them to depart in peace, but they wouldn't listen and came on, and it happened.
What exactly happened?
I really think she should rest now.
I used the power as we used to use it.
What power?
Miss Anstruther.
I used the Hand of Death on them. So it is all true. Everything in my mind. The City of Circles. The people of the Crystal. Everything.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to raise my voice. It's just that, poor thing, what a power that would be, though, if one were a man who loved power.
There must be some rational explanation.
Well, of course, or else,
perhaps you were right. Maybe the things we call supernatural are only the natural of which the laws are not yet understood.
What? Destroying a whole building by an act of divine will?
Well, perhaps not, but there seems to have been something very powerful at work here.
Exactly.
Well, I suppose we may never know the exact circumstances of the destruction. But I'm sure of one thing. What we have here is a violent event of war that has unhinged a mind.
Yes.
And it is now a well-documented phenomenon.
True.
What it requires is a slow and patient cure.
So do you believe there are great forces in nature?
Yes. But quite uncontrollable, quite untamed.
We have tamed fire, the powers of wind and water, and put them to our use.
By physical means, not mental power.
Well, of course you're right. This is all wild speculation. As you say, a slow and patient cure.
Yes. Well, I'm obliged to go back to London tomorrow. But I wish you good fortune, Dr. Rose, with your most unusual case. If you ever write a monograph on it, I would very much like to read it.
No, I'm just a country doctor with no other ambition than to heal, I'm afraid. I believe we should leave occult science to fortune tellers. All the same, what a power that must have been.
Kitty! Kitty! If we don't go now, we'll miss the train!
Come on! I just had a rather odd phone call. Our district nurse, it seems Sister Marie is rather distraught today. I said to send for Dr. Rose, but she was very insistent I speak to you.
Really?
Almost belligerent. She said Marie wants to see you and says it's urgent. Well, I mean, clearly the woman's hysterical. But we can't, can we?
We will. I'll take a later train.
Oh.
I've only met you twice, but I feel I can trust you.
Yes. I confess I do feel close to you.
You are a woman.
And you are a nun.
Sisters. Let us call ourselves sisters. Sister, I'm afraid. Afraid of my weakness.
I'm sorry, I don't... In what way?
The doctor. He's been very kind, but he's very persistent. He wants answers. Now that we know it's not all in my dreams.
What answers?
It's not well that a man should come to power before his time. Last night, he showed me a crystal. I fainted. When I came round, I said I could remember nothing. To try to read the future is sinful. What I want from you is this. He wants to show me the crystal again. Will you be there, beside me, sister? I do fear how I am made weak.
I will, sister. Of course I will.
Dr. Rose! Oh, Dr. Rose.
Miss Anstruther, I thought you'd return to London.
I meant to, but then I thought, I come here so rarely that this might be the last time I'd see Sister Marie. She may soon be well enough to return to Belgium. I thought that if you were visiting her today, I might accompany you.
Well, I'm not sure there's much more you can do.
I'd be most grateful. And I must leave tomorrow.
I see. I'm merely asking her to repeat her dream simply to cleanse herself. I'm not sure how interesting this will be.
All the same.
Right. Well, in that case, this afternoon. Will that suit you?
Admirably.
Now, Sister Marie, Miss Anstruther is here to reassure you. What I want you to do is to look into this crystal. You remember what we tried last time?
Yes, Doctor.
Certain people are supposed to have the gift of seeing things there.
I cannot predict the future.
Your dreams are of the past.
It may help you to understand it.
If you say so.
Just take the crystal in your hands.
Must I?
I am here.
Now look into it. So that you can see that past. Look into it. Look deep. Yes, deep. Deeper still. You remember. Do you not? You remember. You hear me speaking to you. You can answer my questions. What do you see?
I see the city of the circles.
What circles?
There are three circles. The first circle for the chosen. The second for the priestesses. And the outer circle for the priests.
And in the center?
The house of crystal.
Do you think that...
Tell me what you see. Tell me about the fifth sign.
Pure swords. The opening of mind to mind. To prepare ourselves.
To prepare for the sixth sign. What is the sixth sign?
It is too soon. We must stay.
Yes.
We must not complete the circle.
Why must you not complete the circle?
She is in deep sleep.
Why must you not complete the circle?
Take the crystal from her. She will lie back and rest.
So baffling and extraordinary, but so frustrating. I'm feeling so close.
Dr. Rose, I think you should not continue.
These are the memories that disturb her.
No. What disturbs her is real, a very real and terrifying event. In her convent, in a war. If you can bring her to terms with that, to ease the painful shock, then these other visions of a jumbled religious experience will fade away.
But they are important to her.
They seem more important to you.
Her future well-being is important to me.
Then concentrate on that.
She is my patient.
And you ask for my advice.
I've been asleep.
Yes, for just a moment.
So, the Heart of Death is real.
I have given you my advice.
With respect, I must ask you to allow me to treat my own patient as I judge to be in her best interests.
Her interests or yours?
Hers, of course. Thank you for your opinion, but frankly, I see no point in your continued involvement. I'm sure you...
That, of course, is your privilege. I will be in London, but I'm sure you won't mind if I ask Kitty to look in on her.
Miss Anstruther.
I think you should calm down.
You've gone too far.
Remember your position, Dr. Rose.
I should not have allowed you to know so much.
Goodbye, Dr. Rose. I will walk back by myself.
Be very careful on the cliff path.
I'll take the night train. Now, tomorrow, Kitty, first thing, and I mean first thing, you go and see Sister Marie.
Aren't you making too much of a fuss about nothing? I mean, she's potty.
Kitty?
I'll go. You know I'll go. I just won't know why I'm going.
You will listen to Sister Marie. You will take any fears she tells you very seriously. You will tell her. You will let me know at once.
If you say so.
I'm afraid I no longer trust Dr. Rose.
But he's so effective. What has he done?
He is not looking for the rational.
My, what a crime.
Oh, Kitty, take me seriously, please. There is something wrong.
So report him.
I can't. I have no proof. I'm not even sure I know what it is. But I am frightened for Sister Marie. She will resist his questions, but not for long. Tell her I'll come back as soon as I can. And now, would you take me to the station?
It's early for the train. I know, but I want to be settled. Now, come on. I'll wait with you.
No, go home, honestly.
I don't see why I can't wait. I've barely had a chance to talk to you because of all this other nonsense.
All right, not nonsense. All this looking for the rational.
Look, there's no point in your waiting around for 25 minutes. You'll be home in 10 in the car. I will be fine.
I'll miss you.
I'll be back.
Of course you will.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Do not come near the altar. No! Do not come any further in God's house. Go. Go away in peace. Not war. No! No! The power! The power! No!
Wait!
Kitty!
Oh, I'm so glad I caught you.
What is it?
When I got home, I had another most peculiar phone call from the nurse.
What?
Well, she said Dr. Rose had come and taken Sister Marie away to the hospital for a few days, she said. Well, she was quite matter-of-fact about it. But in the light of what you said, I thought I...
You did the right thing. We must get my bags at once.
But your train...
Hang the train. We're going back.
What can have happened?
I don't know.
Will they let us into the hospital at this time?
I am a doctor. Hurry up.
Oh, whatever you say, dear. Let's pretend I'm an ambulance driver.
Gaze again into the crystal. That's it. Allow your mind to be cleared of distraction. Look deep into it, deeper and deeper. Now, I'm going to say certain words to you as I did before. And remember, I want you to answer straight away. Don't think, just say whatever word first occurs to you. Now, you hear me? Tell me you hear me.
I wish we had a bell to ring. This is fun. Hospital coming up.
Calm.
No more. Death.
Fifth sign.
Pure mind.
Sixth sign.
Destruction.
Destruction.
La mer. Sea.
Sea.
Hand.
Seventh sign.
Nothing.
So, it never went beyond the sixth sign.
They're not there. Oh, they can only be at his house. Now, Kitty, this is the time to drive as if the devil was behind us. As he surely is in front of us.
Then let's run him down.
The sixth sign.
Destruction. The power.
Tell me the secret of the sixth sign. Give me the power.
He who was a guardian revealed the sixth sign.
I don't understand.
He revealed it to the people too soon, and evil entered their hearts.
This is not too soon, Sister Marie. Give me the power.
You are not a good man.
I will use it for good. You know I will. Listen to me.
Please, I can't.
It is so simple. Don't resist me. You know I'll use the power with care.
I must find my strength.
Give me the power.
I cannot.
Listen to me.
I cannot.
Now listen to me.
You would not resist.
Nobody knows but us. Anyone else will be dealt with.
You will not harm my sister. I see danger. I see the hand of death loosed upon the sea so that the circle cannot be closed.
Give me that power.
And the sea rising up in the shape of the hand and the land swallowed utterly. Once before. I remember this. I remember it on the outer steps in Belgium.
There! Now! You can see the lights of his cottage!
Slow down! We should be careful how we approach.
Stop!
What? God's name!
This is nice, Tom.
Well, Lion's Corner House isn't quite what I had in mind. However, another cup of tea.
Lovely.
I say, miss, can we... Thank you.
So, the next day I realised how close I'd been to death. If you'd been able to seize this power, I knew too much. And yet I knew so little. In that, of course, he was right. We know so little of the forces that are within and without us.
You actually believe this?
I believe there are natural things of which the laws are not yet understood. They found no trace of the bodies, you know. He came close to something horrible. Something unspeakable.
Well, either that or a ghastly coincidence.
People come to peer over the cliff at the twisted wreckage down below. And many have remarked on its curious shape. And say it looks like a great hound lying there.
Hmm. And I don't have a story for the museum. Not one that anyone would believe.
The more we know, the more we see how little we know.
Hmm. Look, why don't we make a day of it, hmm? Move this on to dinner.
I'm sorry. You're so kind, but I do have a friend coming round.
Ah. Hmm. Well.
In The Hound of Death by Agatha Christie, Alice was played by Julia McKenzie and Dr. Rose by Michael Kitchin. Sister Marie was played by Marianne Borgo, Tom Hayden by Simon Treves, and Kitty by Alexis Zagerman. It was dramatised by Bill Morrison, produced by Bruce Hyman, and directed by Dirk Matz, and was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.
Agatha Christie's In a Glass Darkly, starring Neil Dudgeon and Rebecca Egan.
I've got no explanations for this story. No theories about the why and wherefore. It's just something that happened.
Give me a position.
Coming up on the marker. Mark, 2376, skipper.
How's she reading?
We're hugging the earth like it was Julia Roberts.
Yeah, just keep your mind on the screen, Neil.
Flying close. Scaring calves. We're good.
We better be. A couple of weeks, we may be hugging sand and scaring Iraqis.
You think it's a go? Desert storm?
What I think doesn't matter, Neil. We do what we're told.
So, we're fine for the weekend, Skip.
24 hours. How far is it to your place? You sure your parents aren't going to mind me just arriving?
No way. It's open house.
The country gentry.
Hey, they really want to meet you. And anyway, my sister's boyfriend is going to be there. And he's a real pain in the ass. Captain in the Ordnance Corps. Expects me to salute him.
Well, now I figure, Lieutenant, you're arriving with your own captain in tow.
Preemptive defense, Skip.
He was a good kid, Neil. A good oppo. And a total opposite. I was grammar, he was public school. But we were both pilots. And that's what counts.
Mi casa es su casa, Skip.
That isn't a house, Neil. That's a castle.
I don't think anyone's around. Probably gone into town to pick up the ring.
Wedding bells?
I told you. Sylvie. She's marrying the Rupert.
A supply guy?
Her set.
Green wellies and wax jackets. What? No butler?
Even we change with the time, Skip. Come on, I'll find you a room and we can get a drink.
It was a castle. With medieval plumbing. Baths big enough to drown a hippo in. And they dressed for dinner. It was all sort of fun. Like dressing up for real.
Ready, Skip?
5 minutes. I'll see you down there.
I hadn't noticed the connecting door until I saw it in the mirror. It was swinging open.
Huh?
There was someone. No. A couple next door.
You don't understand. Please.
Listen to me.
Oh, I understand everything now.
No.
No. He was killing her, and I stood there, frozen, watching, unable to move.
It's all clear. Crystal clear. Now.
I could see her face. Not his. Only a scar under his left eye. She was flailing, hitting the wall, getting weaker. I had to move. I had to.
Stop!
Skip, what is it?
Neil, I...
What are you doing?
The door. I saw a door.
No door, Skip. You sure you're okay?
Well, yeah. Sure, just... Well, I don't know. Well, that happened. Yeah, let's go down.
The mirror was just a sheet of glass, unbroken. You don't admit to hallucination, not if you want to keep flying. I shut my mouth and we went down.
Sill, this is Skip, a Captain Prentice, best pilot in the army. Skip, my sister Sylvia, best sister in the world.
It was her.
I know it's a cliche, but it's great to meet you at last. Neil's told us so much about you.
The woman I'd just seen being murdered.
Do I call you Captain? Or Skip? Or...
Jeff. Call me Jeff.
Did they get you a drink yet?
Only here she was. In front of me and alive and... beautiful. And right there and then...
Oh, no. No, they,
Didn't?
I fell in love with her.
Right.
Then I think we'd better remedy that. Angus? Jeff, this is Angus Carpenter, my fiancé.
Ah, heard a lot about you. Quite a hero. You copter boys. Get all the glory, eh?
Could you grab a G&T for him? Is that all right, Jeff? Oh, no. Jeff?
Her fiancé and the man I'd just seen killing her. The scar under the left eye. It was the same. I knew and... What the hell was I supposed to do with it?
Got a problem, old chap? Oh, polo wound. Nothing heroic, I'm afraid.
We're going through, Skit. I sat you opposite Sill. Something nice to look at.
I was a crap dinner guest that night. Spent most of the time trying to work out what to do. In the end, I knew I had to say something. Not what I wanted to say. That I loved her and she was wasting herself on the unknown Angus, but...
Beautiful night. Sorry. More clichés.
They're usually true. That's why they're clichés.
Is that a fact?
Nope. A cliché.
Look, I'm sorry, Sylvia, but I have to say something.
Yes?
I'm a pilot. I've been trained to look and see what's there and act on what I see.
Yes, go on.
I'm not a nut, not crazy, but I saw something tonight.
Then you'd better tell me, hadn't you?
So I did, and she listened. And then she said thank you and good night. And then she went inside. Neil and I left early the next morning. I didn't see her again. I heard later from Neil that the engagement had ended. I didn't know if it was me or not, but I felt... I don't know what I felt about any of it. Luckily, I didn't have a lot of time to agonize. Desert Storm was blowing up and it blew our unit into action.
Give me a fix on that incline, will you?
You got it, Skip. On your screen now.
Roger that. I think we'll take a look-see.
It's off the route, Skip. We should keep to our flight plan.
Come on, Neil. Let's go scare a goat.
Skip, I don't think we should.
Call it reconnaissance.
Call it dumb.
Call it any way you like. It's what they pay us for. Give me a position.
Skip, we have to stay on course. Don't go there, Jack.
Come on, it's just another wadi. Give me a position.
Okay, on my mark. Skip, incoming. Stay up.
A missile out of nowhere. We couldn't have known. We were on course and... It smashed the screen glass. I was flying blind, my face... blood everywhere. I'm sorry, I'm going into all this stuff and...
It's all right, Jeff. I understand.
Because it's so damn impossible to talk about what needs to be said. Somehow I can't...
see the big tree over there? The cedar?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently it's older than the house. There's a plate. I mean, a real plate. A pewter eating plate. Nailed to it right near the top. There's a date scratched on it. 1624. And a name. Edward. Neil found it when he was 9. The first time he climbed to the top of the tree. Oh, he thought it was such an adventure. He said, "Sis," that's what he called me then, "when I grow up, I want to be an adventurer and have adventures."
I don't want to hide anything because somehow it seems really important that I tell you the truth. For him. Maybe for us too.
Yes. For all of us.
He knew. He knew what had happened to him. That he was going to die.
The prospector's locked on.
That's enough, Neil! You have to rest!
Rest bollocks! You'll never fly this thing back on your own, and you know it.
Neil, I'm sorry. You were right.
Just keep us in the air, Skip, and get us home. Correct course 1214 east. I'm going to switch to 2 Roxanne tanks.
We don't need them!
We need them, Skip. Electronics are down. I have to do it by wire.
You can't, Neil!
Yes, I can. Tell George Bush he owes me one.
He knew we needed the fuel, and he knew that pulling the lever was going to finish him. And he did it.
You would have done the same, Jeff.
Would I?
Yes. I know you, and you would.
No. You don't know anything about me. About what I... Neil's ring, he would have wanted...
Yes. Thank you. Jeff?
I'm sorry. I have to go now.
I wanted, more than anything in my life, I wanted to say there and then, I love you, Sylvia. But then I'd also have to tell her I killed your brother. And the scar on my face, under my right eye, was like a bad joke, the mirror image of the vision I'd seen that night, reminding me that I would never have the woman I'd saved, the woman I loved, the woman whose brother I'd killed. The war ended, as they do. I got a new posting. More desk, less flying, though I still got up every so often. And time passed. A couple of years. I hadn't seen Sylvia since the funeral, and then one evening in London at some or other event. No, it was a reunion. The old units from Desert Storm. And there she was.
Sylvia!
Jeff! Oh, I wondered if you'd be here.
Have to now. More pips on the shoulders. Need to show yourself.
I heard. Congratulations.
Oh, hardly deserved. Well, they promote you every so often. All you have to do is stay around. Sorry, that was pretty crass. Can I get you a drink?
I have one. See? I'm holding it.
Yes, right. Yes, absolutely. Well, if you don't mind, I'll have a drink. Yes, that must be what I meant all along. These things get so crowded.
Before they get maudlin.
Yeah. Look, what do you say to,
Yes.
What?
You were going to say, let's get out of here?
You read my mind.
Yes. We can do that, you know.
Who?
Women. It's not hard. In fact, it's remarkably simple. The male brain.
So, what are you doing nowadays? That's pretty damn lame, isn't it?
Arts administration. Oh. Lots of infighting, squabbling, jockeying for position.
Sounds like the army.
Well, it seems to suit you, Major Prentice.
Look, Sylvia, all of that, it's nothing. It's... I mean, what I wanted to say was that... I love you, Sylvia, and I have loved you from the first moment I saw you, and... Okay, there's the river. I'll just jump in it now and drown, or float down to Gravesend, or...
I know.
What? You know what?
I know you love me.
Oh boy, is the male brain that easy to read?
I know because I love you. and have done since the first moment I saw you. Well, maybe not the first moment, but pretty soon after that.
What?
Is that a rhetorical what?